Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Social media, it's got its problems, no doubt about it. Our Thursday night co-host, Jay Noon, he's very critical of social media. He says that kids should not be allowed on social media until they're in their teenage years. But the difference between Jay Noon and what we're about to talk about here is Jay would not use the government to force his beliefs on anyone else. That is exactly what the senators in the United States Senate are talking about doing. Chris, you've got a story from a tech site. Go ahead and give them credit if you don't mind again.
This is the Tech Policy Press.
And they are looking at a new bill that is going to force people to identify themselves just to simply access social media, among other things. Can you reread that sort of introductory sentence so we can bring people up to speed?
So, let's see here. The bill says its purpose is to require that social media platforms verify the age of their users, prohibit the use of algorithmic recommendation systems on individuals under age 18, require parental or guardian consent for social media users under age 18, and prohibit users who are under age 13 from accessing social media platforms.
So a blanket prohibition on people under 13, even though they will be allowing, if this passes, even though they'll be allowing other teenagers on the site with parental permission. But what they're saying is parents can't even give permission under this bill for someone who is 12 or younger.
Yeah, it's that crazy. Yeah. Like, crazy. I mean, these are... control freak is probably like an understatement for, you know, the people who would be proposing something like this, I think.
I hope they get into some... I hope this story has some quotes from these senators to justify what they're doing and why.
I mean, and you have to remember, if a site is it becomes liable, right, for verifying the age of users, that means they can't just verify people who are under 18. They got to verify all
everyone
users.
Yeah.
Which then begs the question, well, how do they do that? And driver's license, at least a driver's license number or some sort of verification service like you might find with signing up for a crypto exchange maybe or a bank or something like that. Maybe they can get away with a credit card, but I don't know, because under 18s can have credit cards. So
not very common, but, you know, also, how are you going to verify a teenager who doesn't have a driver's license further? Like, if it's okay, if the parent can say, okay, my 14-year-old son is allowed to use Facebook, I'll check this box, I'll give my own ID to prove that I'm the parent. How do you prove? Are you going to have to drag out a birth certificate here? Let's hear more about this.
And then the bigger question is, well, how are you going to enforce this on entities outside the United States? And then the next question is probably going to be like, okay, well, so the reality is you can't.
You can't. But, I mean, how many American kids want to go sign up for VK in Russia?
I mean, they're probably going to either somehow, if you make it weak enough, they're going to lie. Or, right? In that all they have to do is click a box that says I am over 18, right?
Is or, that what they're proposing, though?
Well, it's not entirely clear here, but if there's liability, they're probably the assumption is that they are.
I suspect there are certain
going to have something that's more than a box that says I'm
right.
Over 18.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that there's probably these companies you referenced them. There's these cryptocurrency sites and maybe some banks where you, when you sign up, they want you to show your ID. They want you to, like, take a picture of yourself or do, like, a live video verification to what is an automated system. There's not another human on the other end of it. It's just an automated system that checks your image against the image on your driver's license and or checks it against a database or whatever. And then it approves you or it doesn't approve you. Right?
I haven't encountered that. I have encountered a live human version of that, though.
Where there's an actual person.
Actual person, webcam to webcam.
This is on a crypto exchange?
I don't know what it was, but
it's pretty rare.
Yeah, I had to hold up the driver's license and, like, move it and turn it just perfectly so that he could see, like, the security features and stuff, I guess, on it.
That's unusual. I've never seen that on a cryptocurrency exchange because there's so many signups, it would be very hard to have an actual human being.
Well, it's a service. It was a service that was connected to some sort of exchange or similar.
Right, and these are all services.
So it wasn't none of the exchange doing it. It was a third party.
None of these are the exchange. They're all third-party services. And I'm just going to guess that some of these third-party services are the ones that are paying off these senators to get this bill through. So they will guarantee business from every social media platform doing business.
Yeah, I've heard of this. I think in the UK, actually, where they tried to do something like that, too. So
there's been an age verification system in place in the UK for porn for a couple of years, I think.
Yeah. So I don't know that it is as severe as this, though. But anyway, the growing evidence is clear. Social media is making kids more depressed and wreaking havoc on their mental health. Okay, so if it is, then get off social media, right? Like, you don't need a government to tell you that you can't use social media to get off of social media, right? Like,
are all kids depressed by social media, or is it just the ones who are already depressed who become more depressed because they're on social media?
I mean, this argument just seems so ridiculous to me because nobody is... unless I'm mistaken and their schools are, like, mandating you use social media... And then at that point, why don't you just remove the mandate as opposed to prohibiting it? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. While kids are suffering, social media companies are profiting. Yeah, really? You know, all I'm thinking of is there's a lot of people profiting, and it's the psychologists, it's, you know, the government.
I'm pretty sure Twitter hasn't ever made a profit.
What's that?
I'm pretty sure Twitter's never made a profit.
Everybody but the social media companies, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. They're claiming the social medias are profiting. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if they are.
Yeah. This needs to stop, said Senator Schutz in a press statement. Our bill will help us to stop this growing social media health crisis among kids by setting a minimum age and preventing companies from using algorithms to automatically feed. You know, it's just sort of funny in that, like, an algorithm, I mean, algorithms literally, like, everything you do, there's an algorithm behind it, right?
Sure.
Like, I mean,
they're saying they want if a teenager is going to be allowed by their parents to sign up for one of these sites,
it's scaremongering.
They're saying that you have to only feed them what they've followed on, as far as whichever friends they followed on the site, you can only feed them that. You cannot make a suggestion that they follow this other person, or you cannot make a suggestion that they see this other post by the post that your friend liked. So they're just going to cut off the sort of exploratory experience of using social media, is what it sounds like to me, because they might see something that's bad.
Yeah, sounds like they're banning social media.
Because no kids would ever share with one another outside of social media prohibited items or bad things, right? No teenagers would ever step outside the bounds of the law. No teens would ever find a social media website to use that isn't one of the mainstream ones. Like, if you're banned, like, I know how I was when I was a teenager. If some government thug had said, you can't use this, whatever it was, right? Like, we didn't have social media when I was a teenager, but, you know, oh, you can't use your calculator, your TI-82 calculator or something. I would have figured out when, how, and where I could still use the calculator, right? Like, and the same thing's true with teenagers. Maybe they would go to VK. I don't know. But I bet you they'd find an app that was unrestricted, that no one had ever heard of, because no one had heard of TikTok.
Yeah.
Until all of a sudden, the teenagers in the, you know, early 20-somethings went to TikTok.
And it wouldn't surprise me if they hopped to that because of other, you know, dumb regulations.
Restrictions.
Or, you know, school policies or that type of thing, you know. Yeah. It's like, okay, you banned Facebook, and now where do they have to go? They just go to Twitter or TikTok, right? You know, I mean, this is so stupid. The bill excludes a variety of digital media products and services not designated as social media, including video conferencing platforms. Okay, so they're going to go to those instead. Like, I mean, subscription content services.
They're going to regulate video conferencing? Is that what you said?
They're not going to regulate video conferencing platforms. So,
oh, they're not.
I mean, okay. I'm guessing they can just go to YouTube or, although I don't know. Like, I guess YouTube doesn't really have the social media,
not conferencing.
Really.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, all right. I guess that's not conferencing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, video conferencing platforms, let's see here, subscription content services, video game platforms, news sites, travel and commerce sites, educational platforms, messaging services, and other interactive services that deliver content to an end user, presumably such as chatbots. Interesting. Social media sites must take reasonable steps. I love these choice of words.
The, like, reasonable step of reasonable? Forcing these people to completely change their business model and implement age checking, age verification systems that they've never implemented before. That is what the government considers to be reasonable.
So it does actually go on a little bit further here, and this is what they're considering it sounds like reasonable. So they have to go beyond merely requiring attestation of a user's age.
Right,
so
usually the checkbox, right?
Yeah, you can't just click a box.
I am over 13.
Right, exactly. You can't just click a box that says I'm over 13.
That's what it's been for 25 years, by the way, since the mid-1990s.
Yeah.
When, what was it, COPPA or something like that, the Children's Online Protection Act.
Yeah, I think that law was gutted, but, like, one of the things that, part of it that wasn't gutted in the Supreme Court ruling was, like, that checkbox, basically. Mm-hmm. It's crazy, but yeah. Taking into account existing age verification technologies, information gathered for age verification cannot be, and then they put restrictions on what you can do with this,
mm-hmm.
cannot be retained or used for any other purpose, and there is no requirement for the use of government IDs. So what are they going to use if not government IDs?
Wait a minute. So it can't be retained or used for any other purpose? I mean, that sounds like they can still retain it for the purposes of age verification.
Right.
Maybe I'm just not seeing how it's written, but
well, this isn't the law. This is a summary of what it is, yeah. I guess. But, yeah. Existing accounts enjoy a grace period of 2 years, after which they must be verified.
Oh,
children under age 13 may view social media sites as long as they are not required to have an account.
So if you enjoyed having some relative anonymity on social media sites, because there's a lot of bots or whatever that just auto post things to Twitter accounts or whatever, you know, various different services that just, they're not humans, they're not advertising to be humans, they're just they're just propaganda, whatever they are. Those are going to have to now ID themselves, or individuals who wanted to be anonymous on these systems are now going to have to provide ID in order to post?
The crazy thing is, I always remember, you know, when I was young, thinking I should not, and it was kind of like a rule of the internet, you don't put your name out there, right?
That's the old internet.
You don't use your real name.
That's been gone for years.
A nick, right?
Right.
And, you know, if anything, I think the problem is that it's requiring this sort of this identification thing. People, young people, everybody, I don't even think it's just young people, should be creating pseudonyms.
Yeah.
You know, to protect themselves to some degree, I think.
But if this passes, then you will not have that freedom.
Right. The bill does require parental or guardian consent for minors to establish accounts, and that consent must be possible to revoke. Algorithmic recommendations based on age data are prohibited. Wow. So they have to serve the same content to younger viewers that they serve to their adult viewers?
It's hard to understand it. I think based on what they said early on, they're saying that the prohibition is against any algorithmic serving of content to people under the age of 18. That was what they said early on in the story.
But how is it even social media? I don't even know if that would be social media at that point.
They're, like, trying to cripple these platforms.
Yes, are prohibited, but contextual data can be utilized to make recommendations. Contextual data.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
I would have thought that would be like things that are in the message maybe or something.
Perhaps.
Like that. So based on age data. So I guess if you post, I don't know, something...
Wouldn't it be an algorithm that determines what contextual data that you're...
I would think so.
This is also stupid.
I'm guessing what they mean is if somebody posts a message about Pokemon in their, you know, in the content on their social media,
then they can see
Pokemon ads or something like that, maybe, but they won't be able to, it won't be, which just seems to be, I don't know, it just seems crazy to me, like that you would allow this but not that. Like, I don't know. The bill also would...
It's all arbitrary.
It is. The bill would also task the Commerce Department with establishing a secure digital identification pilot program that would permit parents and guardians to verify their relationship to a minor across participating platforms. Like, I mean, the amount of information...
A government service, a government technical service that allows parents to identify themselves as being the parents of a specific child.
The amount of information that they're demanding... you know, that websites obtain is like it. This is danger. This is like 1984.
I was just thinking the same thing. This sounds like laying the groundwork for a social credit score, right? Because if everybody on social media has to be identified, if they're going to tell people they're shutting down accounts that will not identify themselves within 2 years of this being put into law, then it will be to where everyone has to have an ID on file, everybody's passed the government test, all the children are linked in with their parents, so now we can identify all the children on these sites, and so everybody's going to have, you know, if they want to turn on a government credit score system or, you know, like China has, right?
Yeah.
A social score, then it's just going to be another bill before every platform has to obey that.
They'll already have that information. They're not doing it all at once. They're doing it in small steps, so you can't see how it's you know, being brought or introduced.
I think that's what they're doing here. They're laying the groundwork for it.
Yeah, you know, kind of reminds me of the IDs, the real ID.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminds me of that. You know, they keep delaying it year after year after year,
but it keeps getting rolled out slowly.
Yeah, little by little, they're chipping away.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that I believe there's an argument that it's unconstitutional. There's more to the story, but the piece will be updated. So we don't have more at the moment.
Mm.
But apparently there's a lot more to this bill.
Oh, boy.
Well,
I mean, it is just a bill, so it could get worse, could get better. But even if it's better, it's still going to be bad, right? Like, it's even if they remove a part of it here and there, or they don't go all the way with what they're planning on doing, it will still be steps towards total control. It will be steps towards government regulation of social media, which, I mean, look, we've all got our critiques of social media, right? Like, you know, we like our own servers, for instance. And what about us? What about running a Mastodon server? Is this only going to apply to the big... Or is this going to apply everywhere to anyone running a social media platform?
It didn't say anything about that in the story, so presumably everybody, but who knows?
Yeah.
The thing is, like, if we look back at the 90s, there was, I couldn't list at this point all the bills that they went through, but they kept passing bill after bill after bill involving pornographic websites and age verification. And... first of all, it didn't work, but it didn't stop. Even after the Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional, they tweaked the bill, and then they passed it, and then it got ruled unconstitutional again. And then they basically started literally passing the same exact bill that is already ruled unconstitutional with a different name. And basically what these bills did, the essence of it, is it required people to provide a credit card number or something of that nature in order to access porn sites, which is really disturbing for adults and privacy and everything else. But if the Supreme Court has said that they cannot require pornography companies to verify age, right? If they can't require that in a bill, what makes this constitutional where that isn't?
This bill right now that you're talking about.
This is even more draconian than that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like you said, there's no punishment for the politicians to do the exact same thing again. Even yep. though the Supreme Court has ruled, as you're saying here, and I'm not intimately familiar with the case, but you're saying it was like COPPA or whatever, the 90s Children Online Protection yeah. Act, a lot of that stuff got overturned.
It wasn't one bill or one law. They passed it again, and they passed different laws. Or, well, some of them were slightly tweaked, but mm-hmm. it was basically the same set of, it was the same law. Yeah, the same thing is basically in each of those bills, and they kept getting ruled unconstitutional.
Right, but the thing is, it takes time before a thing gets ruled unconstitutional.
It does, it does.
You got to go through the court system, which could take 5-10 years.
That, interestingly enough, happened very quickly when it comes to, you know, usually stuff takes a long time to hit the Supreme Court. That didn't.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know why that escalated it or something. Maybe because it was a constitutional thing, and I'm not sure. But yeah, somehow that got through the, I mean, it was still like over a decade.
But look what happened. Just what happened with Utah. I mean, we had Alu call about it tonight. Apparently, they were talking about it on the Wednesday night show. Is Utah now has a law that requires age verification for porn sites? And you just said that this didn't work in the 1990s.
That was at the federal level too.
Yeah. Now they're just trying it again at the state level. Now it's implemented. Now apparently there's some porn sites that are just saying, look, if you got a Utah-based IP, we're just not even going to serve you.
Yep.
Rather than try to change their business model, and because it would have to apply, it would be very hard to do to just one state.
It's only enforceable within the United States. Mm-hmm. So if you're operating a porn site that's outside the United States, you're not going to comply anyway. Because right. There's no ability of Utah to enforce something in another country, generally, if there's not some sort of treaty, and usually there has to be a law in that country.
But that if what you said was true about the 90s, if they found that was illegal or that was unconstitutional to mandate age verification on porn sites
yep.
in the 1990s.
That was a restriction on adults was the problem.
Then it's still unconstitutional today.
Right.
And so
in theory, yeah.
Utah is going to get overturned, presumably at some point, but yep. in the meantime, the regime is there. It's in place. They're mandating this, and it's going to stay there until somebody goes up to the Supreme Court
yep.
and challenges Utah. So they get away with it,
yeah.
essentially.
Exactly. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. I mean, what's going to happen is you're going to have some social media sites that are operating in the United States comply with the law,
mm-hmm.
Probably, unless they just ban Utah, which might also be a possibility.
Wait, are we talking about the social media or the porn ban? Sorry.
I guess we're talking about the porn ban in Utah, at least okay. in that example. But at the same time, it's not going to stop people from accessing the porn sites outside the United States. It doesn't even do what it's supposedly advertised to do, which is to protect kids. Because the kids can go, whether we're talking about porn in Utah or we're talking about the social media thing, they can just go and use a social media site that's not in the United States. That's not operating from the United States.
They can go and get porn from all kinds of different places,
yeah,
right?
Like, they can go outside the United States. They can go to,
Mastodon
instances.
Yep.
They can go, you know, there's so many other ways. It's not like, you know, and young people do hop. They will hop from one social media platform to another. We've seen it time and time again.
They're the ones who decide what the hot social media platform
right.
is. At one time, it was Facebook, and then the younger people went somewhere else. Went to TikTok or whatever it was that came after Facebook. They decide these things, and they will decide. They will continue to decide these things. If you want to join the show here, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever is on your mind. The federal government continuing to go after cryptocurrency exchanges. There's a couple of new, just a couple of quickies I'll share with you on the way on who they've targeted now, who they're going after. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever's on your mind here. This is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Emergency crews are on the scene of an explosion and fire at a Shell refinery just east of Houston. This worker from a power plant next door to the facility tells KPRC-TV he was concerned when it first happened.
Planes felt like they were right on top of us, and they were shooting probably 400 or 500 feet up in the air, so it was unbelievable.
The plant and the surrounding area has been evacuated. A city in Florida has fired two paramedics, saying they mistakenly declared a man dead, then drove off in a February 15th incident. Clearwater Fire Chief Scott Ellers.
I would like to apologize to the family for the lack of concern that these two medics displayed on that call. I am truly sorry.
The men didn't follow protocol when they pulled a sheet over the 66-year-old suffering cardiac arrest and canceled other units. Ellers says the men failed their oath of office as well as the patient. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. Phones are open, and you can join us here. We got time for you, but you got to dial in shortly. Number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight is Ian and Chris. And also want to say a big thanks to Mark Warden and Porcupine Real Estate. If you've been thinking about making the move up here to New Hampshire, joining the Free State Project, or maybe you're not a joiner and you just want to come on up here anyway because you know this is the place to be if you love liberty, and you got some questions, well, they've got some answers for you about what is it like to be here. They're going to be having a series of seminars, or webinars, if you will, that they're actually already having the series, but they've got more coming. And they're going to cover a different series of topics, including gun freedom, medical freedom, political freedom victories, best practices for moving to the free state, and, of course, finding housing. They're super helpful. And they're free to attend. All you have to do is get registered over at move.freetalklive.com. That is the URL that will take you right over to the Porcupine Real Estate Seminar registration page, and you can get signed up there for free. That's move.freetalklive.com. If you want to see what they've been doing, you can watch their previous webinars by going to their YouTube channel, which is called Porcupine Real Estate. And once again, go get signed up for the upcoming seminars at move.freetalklive.com. As we go to your calls and thoughts, David in New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I want to address questions of law that you brought up on your program tonight. But okay. First of all, unfinished business, so don't dead name me. I'm not David in New Mexico. I've transitioned. And my chosen identity to which to transfer has been questioned, and I don't quite understand why.
What is your name?
Well, my new name for now, I'll transition again in the future when I feel like it. but for now, and you had an objection to it before, so let me give it an usually I just worry about the FCC. The FCC is not worried about any of these words, but Ian is. So I will eliminate one of the words, which will be the three-letter word that has A's and S's in it. That's a proper name for a donkey.
Yeah.
And it's slang for human buttocks.
Okay.
And I, at the moment, until I transition again, I am a major pain in the bleep. Since I can't be who I want to be, I wanted to ask you, Ian, since the FCC allows it, what is objectionable about pain in the bleep?
Well, I don't know if the FCC allows that, actually.
I know they do.
How do you know that?
Because I know lots of law, which I'll, when we're
the
done
FCC
with
it, isn't based on law. They're regulations.
Regulations are by law, have the weight of law.
Well, the thing is with the FCC, there's not a specific list, okay? So there's no specific list of words that you can't say. However, there are certain words that are generally considered you shouldn't be saying on the radio. And the word you're referring to, unless you're referring to a donkey, could be considered pandering to kind of like a prurient interest, even though you could argue that you weren't using with that intention, and it's just not worth. I think the old Clear Channel Corporation policy was when in doubt, leave it out, and that's my ruling on that particular use of that word.
It's by choice, right? Because we would be endangering the radio stations that carry the show.
That's true, because the fines, if they were to be issued, would be issued against the stations and not Free Talk Live.
Right.
So there is that. And then the other thing is, even if there were no FCC, you would still probably see radio stations putting in restrictions on what their DJs or talk show hosts could say, simply because they have to keep their advertisers happy, and presumably their advertisers would rather be on a family-friendly radio station than...
Kind of like what happened with YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway.
Okay, well...
What else?
Well, we will work around it. Let me give you one last comment on that, since I heard you out. And I think that my comment is that I think there are probably, however many listeners you have out there, a good percentage of them that are laughing right now because they hear, and being Ian-friendly language, they hear pain in the donkey frequently on all broadcasts. Media, and nobody ever questions it except for Ian. So,
all right. Well, I'm just going to call you a pain in the butt. How about that?
Well, you can do that for now until I decide what my new identity will be that I will transition to.
What else were you calling about tonight?
Law that you're talking about. You raised a couple of questions. One of them, you said something about you were surprised that the Supreme Court was seeing something so quickly. My understanding of law involving the Supreme Court is they have the power to see whatever they want, whenever they want to. So if they see something that has a compelling public interest, they can see it immediately if they want to.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's true. There's usually, though, they don't take cases that haven't been ruled by lower circuit courts.
Contrarily?
Right, exactly. There's a conflict between what the different circuit courts have ruled.
But they still could.
Parts of the United States.
They could, but you're saying they usually don't.
Right.
Okay.
For my sake, Chris, would you please restate that in one sentence, what you just said, please?
So usually the Supreme Court of the United States does not hear cases where the issues that are subject to questions have not been heard in multiple different circuit courts meaning different parts of the United States.
Because heard and ruled differently, courts. Right? Meaning one
right.
Appeals court in the First Circuit rules one way, but the appeals court in the Fifth Circuit rules the reverse of the First Circuit, then they're definitely going to hear the case.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about definite, but likely.
Mm-hmm.
Understood. And like I said, I can't cite you word by word the exact verbiage that is available. And there's also implicit rules that are not even written down that govern the way they act. But if there was, for instance, first of all, there are things that types of legal actions where the Supreme Court itself has the very first jurisdiction on particular questions. And I can't cite what they are, I just know that that situation exists. Also, there may be things that arise that need a court's ruling that are happening right this second. And in order to save lives, a court needs to make a ruling right now. And it's of a nature where the most appropriate court would be the Supreme Court of the entire country as opposed to any of the lower courts that might end up sending them something in due time. But like I said, there may be no time. It needs a ruling within minutes. There might be a situation like that.
Do you have any examples of that? Because I'm kind of curious what that might be.
I don't. I can hypothesize. Let's say, for instance, the president of the United States wants to go kill 10,000 people in a given country, and that's what they're in the process of doing. And somebody within the military is highly aware that this is highly illegal, and they manage to get it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court issues an order stopping the president from going and killing those 10,000 people. That's something that I created out of thin air, which is a plausible scenario, which I believe would fill in for actual knowledge of an actual real incident that has happened in the past.
Thank you, David, for the call tonight, or a major pain in the butt. Thank you for the call tonight. Continue here. Sarah, in New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, hold on just a minute.
Nope, yeah, no problem. We got all the time in the world here.
Anyway, I just want to say that Albuquerque police were getting 30 brand new drones.
You're getting 30 brand new drones? Are they going to keep one at your house?
Well, Albuquerque Police Department.
Do you work for them?
Huh?
Are you working for them now?
No, I'm not working, but they decided to.
Well, why would you say we're getting 30 brand new drones?
Well, because I live here in the city.
But you're not the police. You're not like a voluntary police officer, are you? You're not in the posse, right?
No, but our city, what I'm saying is our city, I happen to live here. I vote here, so it's kind of like.
Yeah, but you're not going to get to play with the drone. They're not going to give you the control pad. You're not going to get to fly the thing, right?
But they are going to go after.
They. There you go. That's how you say it. They are going to get 30 drones. They are going to force taxpayers to pay for 30 drones, and then they are going to use them to force those very same taxpaying people to pay even more money to the city of Albuquerque or the Albuquerque Police Department for other things that are completely, you know, victimless acts like speeding and whatever other nonsense they're going to go after people with.
Yeah, one of the things they're going to use for drag racing, and then they have 30 other things they're going to use the drone for.
How do you drag race a drone?
No, she means they're going to watch the drag race.
Oh, okay.
Right. They have videos. They have cameras.
Because the cops are too chicken to actually go in there and arrest the dragsters, so they're going to use a drone to fly in and identify people and then go and get them later on.
Oh, see, I thought it was for entertainment purposes, maybe. You know, they'd film the drone, or the drones would film the drag racers,
and then
they'd publish them on YouTube for us all to watch.
Well, the dragsters probably do that, but no, the police aren't interested in entertainment.
Then why am I paying them?
Well, I mean, they have proof. I mean, how can you catch a drag racer when they sped away? After they drag race, they disappear. You got to catch. I mean, that causes a lot of accidents. When they have a drone, they probably have a microscopic camera or something. They could zoom in the license plate.
I mean, you could just stand there and you could write down license plate numbers. You could be there at the drag race and you could identify people's cars. It's not hard to do.
But the thing is, the spectators, they block the roads so that they won't allow any cars or the police in.
Have you ever heard of a plainclothes detective or a plainclothes officer?
Yeah, I heard of it. But,
yeah,
you know,
they could do that if they wanted to.
Yeah, they definitely don't need the drones.
No, they just want to spend all kinds of money and give their police contractors, these big tech companies that are manufacturing these drones, are probably selling them to them at 10 times what they cost. Thank you for the call tonight, Sarah. The number here is 603-283-6160. I said I got a couple updates on the continuing attack on cryptocurrency companies. Chris, we've been following in recent weeks this ongoing assault against all things crypto in the United States. And they're not letting up. I mean, it was like maybe there was like a week that went by where there was a new announcement of a new SEC lawsuit. Just to recap what we've discussed in the last several months is very, very difficult. They've gone after Library. They're going after Coinbase. They're going after Binance, and it's different agencies. It's the SEC for most of them, but also the CFTC.
What is the CFTC?
Commodities Futures Trading Commission.
Oh, yeah.
They're going after Binance, which is the world's largest.
There's so many, I want to say three-letter, it's not three letters, but there's so many three-letter agencies. I don't know how anybody keeps track of them all.
Well, here's another one for you. This one's actually a four-letter agency. It's not the ones we were just telling you about. This is the Office of Foreign Asset Control, OFAC, which is a department of the United States Treasury. They have announced, according to Cointelegraph.com, that cryptocurrency exchange Poloniex. You remember them? They came here to New Hampshire a few years ago.
Yeah, they were testifying against us.
They agreed to pay $7.6 million in a settlement to the federal government, to the Office of Foreign Asset Control, related to what they alleged was more than 65,000 apparent violations of sanctions. So according to OFAC, in a May 1st notice, they said the $7.6 million would be used to settle Poloniex's civil case for alleged violations of U.S. sanctions against Crimea, Cuba, Iran, Sudan, and Syria. According to the government thugs, Poloniex allowed users in the sanctioned jurisdictions to conduct more than $15 million worth of digital asset trades, deposits, and withdrawals between January of 2014 and November of 2019.
I wonder what they mean by allow.
They didn't stop it, apparently. According to OFAC, Poloniex did not retroactively screen users who had registered at the exchange when they launched in January of 2014, and once it established a sanctions compliance program in May of 2015, leading to the apparent violations. Poloniex's violations were not voluntarily self-disclosed, nor egregious, they claim. Although Poloniex made efforts to identify and restrict accounts with a nexus to Iran, Cuba, Sudan, Crimea, and Syria pursuant to its compliance program, certain customers apparently located in these jurisdictions continued to use Poloniex's platform to engage in online digital asset-related transactions, said the notice. So apparently Poloniex is obligated to prohibit what are probably just normal people in Iran or wherever from being able to simply make a cryptocurrency trade.
I wonder how they came to that conclusion, too, because somebody could have signed up in Iran, left Iran, and how would the exchange have even have known that they're...
Presumably they would have to show a passport.
Yeah, but the passport doesn't tell you where you are. It only tells you what country you're, and I don't believe that.
Yeah, are Iranians
restricted? All Iranians,
right? Just, are you a restricted person if you're from Iran but you live in the UK?
Right, and they wouldn't know that probably based on the information that was available.
Right.
So
that's a great point.
You know, the government's just jumping to conclusions and saying, hey, more than likely anyway, these people are because they have Iranian passports, there must be a violation here.
Well, they're paying up. I mean, they probably could have gone to court, but that's going to cost them probably more than $7.6 million.
Yeah.
Stablecoin issuer Circle acquired Poloniex in 2018, after which time OFAC's investigation concluded. The firm's compliance measures, quote, further improved, unquote, specifically by closing accounts with IP addresses operating in Crimea. A group of investors, which included Tron founder Justin Sun, purchased the firm from Circle in 2019. So it's changed hands a few times. Crypto exchange Kraken agreed to a $362,000 settlement with OFAC in November of 2022 related to similar apparent violations in Iran. And that is not all. There's another one here. BitFlyer USA fined $1.2 million by the New York Department of Financial something or other services, NYDFS. That's a five-letter agency. $1.2 million, which, I mean, seems like a chump change in comparison to what we were just talking about. But still, they were fined for failing to meet New York's state cybersecurity requirement.
Wait, what?
The financial regulator said they failed to meet those regulations despite having a license to operate in New York.
Oh, that's the mistake they made.
By asking for permission and then becoming liable for all that crap?
Yeah, operating in New York, period. Yeah. But yeah.
NYDFS did acknowledge BitFlyer stepped up their cybersecurity. The exchange presented the regulator with a remediation plan, which aims to make them compliant with the state's cybersecurity laws by the end of the year. So there's another $1.2 million going into the pockets of a government agency. I just think it's interesting, the Poloniex story, especially with $7.6 million. OFAC, this is the government agency that ostensibly is protecting us from terrorism, right? Like, this is, they're going after terrorists. They're stopping terrorists from being able to do financial things. And so that's the justification for, you know, their rules, right? Oh, we're sanctioning these countries because they're okay with terrorism. And so therefore we got to stop them from using cryptocurrency trades. And it's like, all this company had to do was pay $7.6 million and all the issues were wiped away.
It gets even crazier though when you think about this, because they can't stop fraudsters, you know, from, you know, profiting from little old ladies. How are they planning to stop Iran or, you know, Crimea or Russia or, you know, any of these countries?
Like, technically capable,
Countries from you know, this is just insane.
Though a terrorist has never heard of a VPN.
Right.
Or a terrorist can't get a fake passport.
The only people this punishes is Americans.
Well, no, it punishes
American
normal
companies.
People. Well, it punishes the companies in America, but it punishes, like, somebody in Iran who is against the Iranian government is punished.
Yeah, right. Okay.
They want to get by Bitcoin so they can avoid the Iranian government's taxes or their, you know, paying into the torture or whatever it is that their government is doing over there. They're prohibited from using this service. So it doesn't matter who they are. If they're in Iran or they're in Crimea, Cuba, Sudan, or Syria, they're not allowed to have financial freedom, according to the United States. And that's a real tragedy because there's a lot of people in those countries that are not in favor of their regimes, right? Mm. Same thing's true here in America. Not everybody supports the regime in the United States. But you bring up the Crypto Six. You sort of reference these elderly people who got scammed online, and of course they want to They're putting Aria in prison for 18 months.
I wasn't even referencing just you because this happens all the time.
Sure.
It's just they just happen to use that against you guys.
But they're going after us with prison time.
Yeah.
For that. Which we couldn't stop. We did the best we could. We stopped some of it, but we couldn't stop at all.
A few.
Some got through.
But the banks didn't either.
No, the banks didn't stop a single one.
The banks didn't even try.
We stopped more than the banks did.
Yeah, the banks didn't call, you know, these individuals to see if this might be a scam. You
did.
But
they're not telling us, oh, just give us, you know, $1 million and we'll pay some of it to these elderly people and then case closed. That's what they do for the crypto exchanges. They paid $7.6 million, and it's like, okay, problem solved. But for us, they got to get the blood. They got to have I got to put a human body in
because
a prison cell.
One's a political attack, and one is, you know, not, you know?
Yeah, one of them's obviously just about getting paid.
Yep.
So that's what the latest is from the continuing attacks against cryptocurrency companies, and they will continue. I mean, they're bullies. You know, they know. When a bully knows that he can shake you down for your lunch money on the school playground, then he's going to come back for more.
Yep. They're going to keep doing it too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, this isn't just going to stop tomorrow. They're going to keep going.
They're
going
to keep going until they've eliminated most of the cryptocurrency exchanges from the United States, whether it be through these punitive sanctions that they're putting on companies for violating their stupid rules, or whether it be from straight-up lawsuits like we're seeing with the SEC going after these companies to bankrupt them. They're going to put them, they're going to put them under, just like they're going to put under a lot of these banks. We're going to likely see more bank failures in the coming weeks and months, and we're going to see the banking industry do what it's been doing for the last 100 years and consolidating into fewer and fewer options, where the bigger banks are the ones that are most likely to continue on and absorb up these little banks. You're going to see the same thing happen probably in the cryptocurrency industry, where smaller crypto exchanges that can't fight the federal government are just going to close up shop entirely, or they're going to move offshore.
Oh, we've already seen that some have.
Right.
I mean,
that's going to continue.
Local Bitcoin, I don't know if you call that exchange, but local
it's a peer-to-peer exchange.
Yeah.
They closed entirely.
They shut down.
Right. They're gone.
Yeah.
Their big competitor, Paxful, is closed-ish. They said they might come back, but might not. So they're gone. So the peer-to-peer ones, the big two, have shut down. And then these other ones are, some of them are closing entirely in the United States. Some of them are withdrawing from the U.S. They're going international. And you're going to see some of them get bought out. Like they talked about, Poloniex was purchased by Circle. And so, you know, Coinbase may end up snatching up some of the smaller ones or something like that. And you'll see by the end of the next few years, if the government gets its way, we'll be lucky if there are four cryptocurrency exchanges operating in the United States. I wish that weren't true, but it is. Like, I mean, that's likely the way things are going to go.
The government
is going to be too hard to comply.
The government says it's against monopolies, but then they sort of force, you know, they focus it out. They try to crush the competition until
right.
There's only a couple companies left.
The good news is there are decentralized alternatives that are being developed, and the more the crackdown comes against these centralized exchanges, the more the decentralized exchanges will become viable. And the more people are going to become interested in them. We're already seeing decentralized exchanges like Thorchain being integrated into different wallets. I saw Edge Wallet announce a few months ago that they'd integrated Thorchain into their wallet. So it's one of the exchange options. When you want to switch between one currency and another in your Edge wallet, you can choose to use a decentralized exchange instead of a centralized. They give you choices. You get, you know, different options for what you want to use. And some people are still going to use the centralized ones because the fees might be lower. But eventually, as the decentralized exchanges get more liquidity and more people using them, as their liquidity increases, the fees will drop. The slippage, as they call it, will drop. So that's the good side. That's the, like, the bright side of them going after the centralized exchanges,
yeah.
Is it will empower the decentralized exchanges, and there's
definitely
nothing they can do to stop a true decentralized exchange or stop certain people in parts of the world from using it. We'll see you tomorrow night online at freetalklive.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government, or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.